Welcome back to the Random Theory Podcast. My name is Josh, and this week is a little different. Grace isn't here, and we are doing another replay. Her and I got a little busy with our new project. We got a lot of work, a lot of things going on right now, and so we just didn't have a ton of time to get a brand new episode out for the podcast. As you longtime listeners know, when that happens, we just do a replay of one of our favorites from the past. But before we get into that, we always like to do some recent ratings and reviews or shout outs of people listening right now. So since I was just mentioning our new project, we told you at the end of last week's episode that Grace and I have started a brand new YouTube channel that is called Constantly Curious, and we told you to head over there and comment on all of our episodes. Science Pal here for the Curious Crew. So for the shout out this week, I wanted to just scroll through on Constantly Curious and just give a big thank you shout out to the people that have come over so far. We've got Steven. Thank you so much. Seamus, you've commented a lot of things. Good to see you. Coda Bear, Chaos Soldier, The Spooniest. That's an incredible name. We've got Jack, and he was responding to last week's episode. Jack Hannifer Hill, good to see you. I'm glad you made it over to Constantly Curious. I'll rapid fire the last three. We got Katz, we got Matt, and we've got Michael Allred. So thank you so much to the people that have already come over to YouTube. Please go check out Constantly Curious. I'll link it in the show notes below. If you go over there, head to our videos, comment, Science Pal here for the Curious Crew. Grace and I are putting a ton of work into it, and so we would love to have the Science Pals there. But without further ado, I want to get into the replay this week because it is one of my favorite topics we've ever done. That's right. It's on music. So please enjoy the replay, and we'll see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye, everyone.
All right, we're back. All right. Talking about music today.
All right, I am so excited. You know me.
Has a band.
Big music guy.
Big music guy.
In a band, Lantern by Sea. Check us out.
Check it out. If you don't, you're not a legit Science Pal. I'm all about calling people out right now for not.
Yeah, it's coming off hot right now.
It's really coming off hot.
Yeah.
You're not a real Science Pal if you don't listen to Lantern by Sea. Really great music.
Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you. I'm a big fan.
But yes, so obviously.
Even though I've missed every concert this year.
That's true. Like, kind of a fake fan, but like, I don't, you know, it's okay. Cool. Like, it's fine. But yes, big music guy. Music, big part of my life for a very long time, since I was very little. So very stoked for a music pod.
This is a tough one for me because I am not a music person.
Yeah.
And this very much took me back to like music class back in college where they like make you sit there.
Yes.
And learn music or like learn the history or blah, blah, blah.
Music is, it's kind of like an abstract, like you're defining art, right? Like it's like hard to,
yes.
It's hard to pinpoint certain things about it. You know, we were talking about like, well, how old, like where did, how, what was the first music? And it's like, right. How do you even define that? You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard.
It is hard. And it's a really big question. And so
yeah.
Part of this is going to be just kind of like how people created music. What is music? What like is the concept of music? Where does music and speech separate?
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing.
I feel like it's answering those questions to the best of your ability.
Yes. Like, exactly.
You know, as much as you can, you know?
So by 40,000 years ago, humans were creating musical instruments in two- and three-dimensional images of the world around them. By 17,000 years ago, they had developed all the major representational techniques, including painting, drawing, engraving, sculpting, ceramics, and stenciling.
Okay, so this is just saying the art was coming to be.
Yes.
Like it was, all those things were happening, mm-hmm. including music.
Which is important because like this is something we need to talk about because a lot of musical instruments were like sculptures or were like an intricate piece. Like you hear about instruments being made in the Bible. Like I just finished reading all about Corinthians I read through the book of Corinthians and literally like they're making harps and lyres and flutes and trumpets.
Man,
like
some of those old timey instruments are real crazy looking.
Yeah, real crazy looking, but like they were doing it.
That's true. Yeah.
So here's the thing about music, is making music is a universal human trait that goes back at least 35,000 years ago. And to explore the evidence of some of the world's earliest music instruments, we're going to look at the flute, actually.
The flute. Okay.
So the flute is one of the world's oldest manufactured musical instruments. Two pieces of carved and hollowed out mammoth ivory were joined together and sealed.
Oh.
The flute had at least three finger holes and played a 5-note scale.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, as far as like what came about first,
yeah, music,
yeah, like that, it's a hollow tube you blow air through.
Exactly.
Like, you know, a guitar, that's got, you got strings on it, you got a string, yeah, you know, yeah, a certain tension and different positions. Like, that's hard. That's, yeah, not, but a flute, you're just blowing air through a tube. So it, that makes sense that that would be one of the oldest, if not the oldest, instrument.
Yeah. And especially out of mammoth. I think, yeah, people forget that, like, we live with mammoths.
I know, right? It's crazy, right?
That's
crazy. Did you see the mammoth meatball over? This was just like over the weekend.
Wait, what?
Some lab, like, you know, did the whole like mammoth DNA into some cell embryos,
yeah,
stuff,
yeah, yeah,
and made a meatball out of that lab processed meat. I don't know why. I don't know what they were doing with it. I didn't like really dig into it.
Yeah.
I just saw the picture of it and it was just like a giant
meatball,
like a softball size meatball.
Ew.
Yeah, mammoth. It's crazy though that we hung out with the mammoths.
We did,
and apparently used their ivory to make flutes.
It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
So what is music? And this is actually a very difficult thing to answer, as everyone has their own idea of what music is.
Yeah.
What is music to you, Josh?
I mean, well, that's the thing of like what I said at the beginning of the podcast of like such big questions and very like vague. You know, like, what, mm-hmm, is music? That's such a, like, subjective question. I mean, to me, music is some type of sound,
mm-hmm,
produced by something,
mm-hmm,
that I would say has some distinct characteristic about it, or like a melody.
Yeah, that is music.
That is music to me.
That's so interesting.
So it can be any kind of sound, any yeah, type of instrument, or even not even instrument. Because like, you know, somebody tapping their foot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, snapping.
Clapping. All that stuff.
That's all music. As long as, you know, if somebody's just applauding something.
Yeah.
That's not music.
No.
But if they're like clapping to a beat.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. That's when it becomes music to me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that music is a sound that conveys emotion.
Okay. That makes sense.
I really don't know what music is to me. Like, if you were somewhere to ask me that, I'd be like, I don't know. It just makes noise.
Yeah.
To me, music is noise.
Yeah.
I think it is a little bit more than that, though. Like,
yeah,
it's not just noise. It has, yeah, I think there's something really fascinating about music because it has the ability to bring people together. It does something very interesting to your brain.
Yeah. Well, that, I guess I like what you said there, and I hadn't really thought about that, but that's a really good explanation of it, of a sound that conveys emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's so great about music is, and it blows my mind all the time when, you know, listening to a song.
Yeah.
The sounds coming, you know, from my phone or whatever, a song, have the ability to, you know, make me emotional.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or, and even crazier is like with my band, and we, you know, we wrote an album, put it out, and we've had people come up to us and say stuff like that of like,
yeah,
you know, this song brought me to tears or whatever.
Aww.
And it's just like something that I wrote,
yeah,
and played on a guitar is bringing that person to tears. That's insane.
Right.
That's crazy. That's so, I mean, so beautiful and amazing.
Yeah.
So I think that is, yeah, like sound that conveys emotion.
It's so interesting because music has the ability to heal as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, and like help people like work through things. Like, it's a very unique and interesting medium. It has the ability to take you back to a certain place in time as well.
True. Yeah.
Like, there are songs that I hear that I'm
linked
like
to a, yeah, memory or something.
It's, yeah, really cool.
Yeah.
So this was saying like a mother humming or cooing to calm her baby would probably count as music.
Yeah.
Using this definition, and this simple music probably predated people speaking.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so, right? Because speech is it's a complex thing.
It is.
But somebody just humming or whatever, mm-hmm, you know, making, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think, yeah, that would definitely come before complex speech.
Well, you think about babies even.
Yeah.
like they coo, they make noises and stuff. They don't speak. Speech is taught.
Yeah.
But where do we draw the line between music and speech? You might think that rhythm, pattern, and controlling pitch are important in music, but these things can also apply when someone's reciting a sonnet or speaking with heightened emotion. So each of us has our own way of saying, yes, this is music, and no, that is speech.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole thing with like spoken word.
Yeah.
Or even like some, you know, rap, like hip hop type stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, I've heard songs, whether you want to call them that, where it is like it's a music track. There's like a backing, you know, music.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody just what would I guess be perceived as somebody reciting a poem.
Right.
And that could, you know, is classified as a song, a music, mm-hmm. you know, a music.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, yeah, like, you know, if you listen to like a great speaker, like some politician or, you know, somebody that,
right.
like that whole pattern and rhythm thing, like they have that. That isn't, that's a thing.
You have to, like, even in our YouTube videos, like when I'm speaking and then like we lay a song behind it, like there have been times where people are like, wait, that sounded like a song. And it's like,
Yes, I was
supposed to.
Well, and you have like a certain rhythm in the way you speak.
Yeah.
But that, I guess, yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean it's music.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a complex question. It's a hard question.
So when did our ancestors begin making music? If we take singing, then controlling pitch is important. Scientists have studied the fossilized skulls and jaws of early apes to see if they were able to vocalize and control pitch. And this was about 1 million years ago. And our common ancestor, you know, the Neanderthals and modern humans, had a vocal anatomy to sing like us. But it's important to know if they actually did.
Right. So they're just saying they've studied their skulls and they had the hardware.
Yeah.
But they don't, I mean.
No one knows if they actually did.
No one can actually know if they actually sang. Right. Mm-hmm.
So another important component of music is rhythm. Our early ancestors may have created rhythm music by clapping their hands. And this may be linked to the earliest musical instruments. When somebody realized that smacking stones and sticks together doesn't hurt your hands as much. So many of these instruments are likely to have been made from soft materials like wood and reed. And so they haven't survived, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. They're not. Like an ivory flute.
Right, made out of mammoth.
Yeah. That's interesting about rhythm. I feel like, I was going to ask, can you keep time? Do you have like the rhythm? Because there's people that I know that like can't. That is like a mental block of like, I can't keep time.
I can only because of gymnastics.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I was a competitive gymnast, I had to keep 8 counts.
Yeah.
And that for me was like super important, like hearing it in the music. When am I supposed to do X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, the moves, time the moves. Yeah. I remember vividly when we did our like junior prom, we had to learn the dance. Did you guys do that? Like a certain, you had like a prom, what is it called? Promenade, I think is the dance. You know what I'm talking about?
What?
It's like the class dances a certain choreographed type situation, like a partner, like a waltz.
No!
You know, you do like a partnered up waltz.
No.
Anyway, it was a thing. Anybody
this
write
is the
in,
same place where he sat around the Christmas trees and sang songs.
Yeah. Well, listen. Maybe it's like an old timey thing. And you know, I grew up in a farm town, so
you know. Like the stuff that like we just
you guys
did
really
not,
didn't do that.
No, I took cotillion class where I had to learn all these dances and stuff, but like never ever have had to like use
you didn't
them.
Do like
or
a
anything.
You didn't do like a
no.
Did you have a prom, though?
Yes.
Was it a junior or senior prom?
We had junior and senior, prom.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do that. It was just junior. Once you're a senior, nobody cares.
Whoa.
Anyway, but I remember vividly because we had, it was like your, what did you, your class? Your whatever that you learned. Like that of people, we had to learn a dance. And just the divide of people in my class that like could keep time, keep a beat with the song, and then people that were just so far off and just like trying to make it work with people that could not keep time with a song.
If you have done what Josh has done, please write in and let us know, because I had never experienced that. I know Michael didn't.
Yeah. He grew up in Colorado.
Colorado.
I'll be honest, I thought it was a common thing, but now I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was a common place thing. Okay, back to music. We've talked about my prom. We've decided that it was weird. Everything about my childhood was kind of weird. Write in. Did you have a prom dance? Let me know. I need to know now.
Let Josh not feel alone.
Please, I need some more people out there. If you're from small town Utah where I grow up, don't write in. I don't want to hear from you. All right, back to music.
This is why we know that the flute is the oldest, because it's made of bone pipes and, you know, bone pipes survive forever. So some of the earliest ever found are made from swan and vulture wing bones and are between 39,000 and 43,000 years old. Other ancient instruments have been found in surprising places. For example, there is evidence that people struck stalactites, the things that hang down.
Is that down or up?
They are on the ceiling.
Those are the ceiling one.
Yeah.
Stalactites, the ceiling.
Stalactites.
So they were
the
like slapping a stalactite
on the ceiling.
That feels dangerous.
Yeah. Stalagmites are the ones that are on the floor.
Gotcha.
Get it? Because mites are on the floor.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Can you imagine the first guy to be like, this is a rock gong?
Check it out. I play the rock gong. Now all I'm picturing is like, you know how you're always saying you want to play the triangle in the band? Was there like a rock gong guy? That's like, yeah, I play the rock gong.
I play the rock gong.
Come to my cave.
If you ever hit it too hard and someone's standing underneath it and killed someone.
Well, that's what I was
Absolutely
saying.
That happened.
It's like such a dangerous, you're like slapping this big rock and then it falls.
Well, they didn't know any better. Back then when people died, they were probably like, oh, let's not do that again.
That's true. People were just dying all the time. Probably wasn't that big of a deal.
Johnny died. The rock gong fell.
Rock gong fell on Johnny.
Billy hit the rock gong too hard.
He was rocking out too hard.
Oh man.
Wow. What a pod this has been. Okay.
So these rock gongs have been in caves dating back from 12,000 years ago, with the caves themselves acting as a resonator for the sound.
Okay. That makes sense, because you can get some wicked reverb in a cave.
Dong,
rings out. Yeah.
So we know that music is old and may have been with us from when humans first evolved. Okay. But why did it arise and why has it persisted? Which is a great question.
That's a good question.
Because there are many possible functions for music. One is dancing, and it is unknown if the first dancers created a musical accompaniment or if music led people to moving rhythmically. This feels like the chicken and the
that
egg.
That is very chicken or egg. Did the music come first or did the dance come first? I want to be in the camp of dance came first.
Really?
Because I would think, you know, people often move in a dance way when they're like excited or happy.
Yeah.
Right? So if that, like I'm picturing you got all these cave people hanging around a fire. Oh, maybe they just brought in the big mammoth kill.
Excited.
And they're excited, just whatever. And then people start clapping along and all of a sudden this thing is going.
You might have just changed my camp, because I was camp music.
Oh, really?
Came first.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, it also makes sense.
Yeah.
If people have a thing going.
Yeah.
And then somebody starts moving to it.
Yeah. Another obvious reason for music is entertainment, which can be personal or communal. So music can be used for communication and often over large distances using instruments such as drums or horns.
Yeah.
So yeah, another reason for music is ritual, and virtually every religion ever uses music.
I would assume music evolved out of that, of like just like basic celebration or like happiness. And then from there, I would assume it found its roots in like the ritual, the religious something.
Well, it probably came from kind of like what you were talking about, where it's like, there was this thing happening, like it's like they did bring in the big kill, or they played a certain song before they would go out and hunt.
Yeah.
And then like good things happened when they played that song. So people were like, oh, well, let's play the song again.
Yeah, do that again.
Yeah.
Celebration.
Exactly.
Thing,
so the rituals began to like take form and whatnot.
Yeah, I think so.
It's interesting. It's crazy to think about, like to step back in time.
I know. And now like music is such a common
everyday
life.
Like I literally have Alexa on all the time playing music for me.
But it's like, what did it you thinking about like people clapping around a fire.
Yeah.
And that was music.
But like, even like, you think about when you do sit around a campfire, when you have someone playing guitar, you have someone like doing something around the fire, like it just feels right.
It does feel right.
It's one of those things that like instinctively and like at the deepest, like primal part of yourself, it just does feel right.
Yeah. It is like a very bonding kind of connection.
Yeah.
Thing. I don't know. That's yeah, it's really interesting.
However, the major reason that music arose and persists may be that it brings people together.
There you go.
There it is. What a segue.
Yeah.
Music leads to bonding, such as bonding between a mother and child or bonding between groups. Yeah. Music keeps workers happy when they're doing repetitive tasks and otherwise boring work, and helps everyone to move together, which increases the force of their work.
Like, that's the thing. You know, when I was younger, I used to work in a kitchen. And it was real dry until, you know, maybe the end of the shift comes on and the place is closed and we can like blast some music cleaning in the kitchen. And it's like,
it's great.
It's great. Yeah. But then also I was thinking about like bringing people together, that like shift at a concert whenever, you know, they play that song that everyone knows and just everyone's singing and clapping. They all know the song like that. Yeah. Everyone is all of a sudden one, you know, they're all bonded together. Mm-hmm. And that's such a big, powerful thing.
It really is. And this also talked about dancing or singing together before a hunt or warfare binds participants into a cohesive group. It has even been suggested that music in causing such bonding creates not only the family, but society itself, bringing individuals together who might otherwise have led solitary lives.
Powerful stuff.
It is super powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So we're gonna take a quick like step through history of where it was, how it was, the origin. Like, we've talked about the origins of it, but basically just kind of like stepping through it really, really quickly, where music kind of came to be.
Okay. Just a quick overview.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we already know that there was like prehistoric that our ancestors used. So basically dating back more than 35,000 years ago. So starting there at like the very, very back, then we have European and Asian ancient music. So with the development of a writing system, it became possible to compose music as we do today.
Right. So that's saying probably with European and Asian descendants, they were the first to write things down.
Yeah. So the first ever piece of music presented in a cuneiform or alphabet was found in Syria and probably dates back to 3,400 years ago.
That was the first ever written down piece of music.
3,400 years ago.
In Syria.
In Syria.
Okay.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. That's wild.
This is when they discovered the existence of string instruments such as the lyre and the flutes.
Yeah.
And it also suggested the existence of the polyphone.
That is basically music. I mean, that's combining two or more notes to make a line of music.
Oh.
So like a melody is what that is now commonly known as.
So this was the first form of a melody.
This was the first form of like a melody, you know, what you would consider like the main line of a song or any music nowadays.
Yeah. So now we step into the Middle Ages.
Okay.
And this is really when music, I feel like, started to take off. This is about
boom.
Yeah, the medieval and the Renaissance music.
Yeah.
So the interest in this topic is still so vivid that lots of contemporary ensembles and choirs devote their existence to a repertoire of this kind of music.
Yeah, I mean, it's still played today. People are still studying it. It's still, it's huge.
Medieval music is actually quite trendy on YouTube and streaming platforms.
Oh.
I personally love classical music.
Yeah.
This was like very much, this is like what I listened to when I'm studying, when I was in college studying, or I'm just really trying to focus, because it doesn't have lyrics, but it has these like big moments.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
For me, it's, I mean, along the same line, but it was always like movie soundtracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So during the Middle Ages, this is when melodies really started to blossom. So they come together with a new notion system that set the foundation for the one we still use today. So at that time, music was mostly devotional, although there was also a secular current, mostly dealing with the tale of love and cavalry.
Like we were saying, you know, from the development that it kind of went into the ritual aspect.
Yep.
And that's where it found its roots. And this is saying that, you know, it was still there with like the devotional aspect, religious aspect, but there all of a sudden started being songs about love and cavalry, the war, things like that.
Yeah.
And that was new.
And if you've ever been curious about what secularism or what secular is, that has always been something that confused me in music, because this is really when you get that separation. So secularism is the principle of seeking to conduct human affairs based on secular nationalism considerations. So secularism is mostly commonly defined as a separation of religion from civil affairs and the state.
It's like life without religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you've ever been like, I don't understand what secular means, it basically means this is when they started to create stuff on love and life rather than just all religion.
Religion.
So then we take a leap from the Renaissance to the classical period. So during the Renaissance, composers laid the foundation for what Baroque music would later become.
Baroque.
Whenever I hear the Baroque period, I kind of get like twitchy because that's all I remember from music.
Oh, like your college class of music history.
I feel like we spent a lot of time in the Baroque
period. It's a big period. Big period.
Yeah, because this is when composers started creating music for richer ensembles. Like, it wasn't just this piece of instrument and this, like, you're using two instruments. This was like you're creating an ensemble,
you have
like
a whole
orchestra.
Arrangement, yeah.
Then we hop into opera and romantic music.
All right.
Which is really kind of crazy. So this classical era involved the development of a brand new singing form that mixed music and theater. And operas are still incredibly popular today.
Have you ever seen an opera?
No. Yeah. And I have heard very mixed reviews on it, but The Phantom of the Opera is on Broadway currently in New York. Okay. And I really want to go see it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need to get a rundown of like what's happening before, because they don't sing it in English. It's usually in French or Spanish or one of those romantic languages. So I feel like I don't want to just sit there and be like,
what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I've never experienced opera.
I have friends that sing opera.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had our old bassist was studying opera.
Whoa.
Yeah. I never got to hear him sing because he was studying to be like an opera singer. I never got
That's
to hear him
crazy.
Sing. But yeah.
So one of the most known and loved currents today is the romantic music, which was brought on by a bunch of different composers back in that time.
Namely, big names from the opera and romantic are going to be your Mozart, Beethoven, those ones. That's when they came on the scene.
They were kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah. Geniuses.
But you had to be kind of out of the box and crazy to do what they were doing.
Dude, you still do.
Yeah.
I mean, to think about art in that kind of way, you have to be... At least, you know, crazy is kind of a negative word. You have to think differently.
Yes.
About the world, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And then we took a really big drastic turn. This is when jazz and blues came onto the scene. Yeah.
So this is like, and it's like a fairly, at least in this timeline, like fairly big time jump as well.
Yes. And in the timeline, this is what really bothered me, to be completely honest with you, even when we were studying music, there was nothing in between.
Nothing really happened in there.
Opera and jazz. Like, there was nothing in there but where it's like, and then this happened. It was just kind of like, now you have jazz.
Yeah, it was like, it developed to like classical.
Yeah.
And then stayed that for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, here comes some jazz and blues.
Yeah. So people got tired of the calm, quiet stuff. So then, you had jazz and blues that stepped onto the scene.
Sure. Are you a jazz and blues fan?
No.
Really?
It gives me anxiety. So there are still like jazz and blues clubs in New York City.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. So if you ever come to New York, I highly recommend, there is a secret, there's all kinds of like speakeasies around New York City.
Yeah,
but
sure.
This one is in Grand Central.
Oh, cool.
And it is so cool. So this place is called the Campbell.
Okay.
It's in Grand Central Station.
That's cool.
It is so cool. It used to be a jail at one point. It was the commissioner's office. Wow. And then it was turned into this like jazz club.
Was it like an original speakeasy though? Like, but when Prohibition?
No.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Because I know there's some that are like
that. Yes, there are. And they're really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one is just in Grand Central. It used to house lumber. It used to house criminals. Cool. It used to, like, it just has had so many lives. And then it became this jazz club.
Cool.
And they have jazz bands that come in and play. And it transports you back in time.
Yeah, that's
cool. And it's really, really cool.
I would love that because I am a big fan.
When you
fan.
Come, we'll go.
I'm a big really cool. fan of jazz, so I would love that.
I like jazz when it's not... What's the chaotic jazz? and there's no rhyme.
I mean, there's like, well, there's like freeform jazz.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's kind of, it's more loose and just,
yeah,
just flowy. And
it
whatever.
Gives me so much anxiety when they're yeah. like playing over one like another and it like and doesn't like mesh and it's just yeah. like, ah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like anything that's too freeform.
Yeah.
Or if they're, I mean, jazz, you know, you can get into where it's like they're changing the time signature, they're changing the tempo, they're, you know, like yeah. stuff is just going nuts. That also does kind of rub me the wrong way a little mm-hmm. bit. But
so then you get into rock and pop.
Oh, here we go.
So I just think it's crazy. You know, we've got like, we go opera and then we get a little bit looser with jazz and blues. And then we are like hardcore rock and pop. Yeah. So through the 50s, a revolution happened. So rock and roll appeared and blasted the music scene wide open.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
That's that. I love that scene in, have you seen Back to the Future?
No.
There's a scene when, because he obviously the guy goes back in time. And he is from, I think originally he's from the 80s, like lives in the 80s, mm-hmm. goes back in time to, I think, the 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
Before rock and roll had really, and he goes to this dance and gets on stage and plays the classic Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Oh, yeah.
And just like shreds it, ripping on this guitar, plays the whole thing. It's this big like musical number and ends, and everyone in the crowd is just like, you know, wide eye, like straight face, like, what the heck was that? And he says like, sorry, I guess you guys aren't ready for that, but your kids are going to love it or whatever. It's such a good moment in that movie.
That's awesome. So this was all throughout the 50s that this happened. And then you have the Beatles, obviously, for example, yep. that worked that bridge between the two worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
Of, you know, like rock and just and like a jazzy.
Blues, jazzy. Yeah. yeah. Like, well, like, because that's the thing. At that time before, the only kind of bands, you know, you think of like a right. band of musicians playing together were jazz bands.
Yep.
Or like the blues, you know, blues bands. And so then, yeah, people were changing what the term band meant, mm-hmm. a collection of musicians playing together. And yeah, absolutely. The Beatles, you know, love them or hate them.
Yeah.
You cannot deny what they did to popular music.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And now we're in this new age of electronic music.
Yes.
And this is like pretty mainstream music. And yeah. it's very interesting because it takes this development of technology and computers and allows artists to approach music in a whole different manner.
Yeah.
And they no longer have to play an instrument to compose a tune.
Yeah.
They could just use a piece of software and electronic devices. Yeah. And then, hello, you have music.
Again, it's like love it or hate it. It's had a big impact. I mean, we, you know, when we made our album, we obviously all play instruments. So that's a mm-hmm. part of it. But then also we use those electronic tools to make, you know, like our album has a bunch of synth on it. Well, it doesn't have enough that we were like, let's bust out the old synthesizer yeah. from the 80s. No, we did it digitally and made it in the program or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's music has definitely taken a big, come a long way, went through a lot of changes, a lot of interesting things.
It has.
This was actually, you were talking about college class. This, like from about the 40s on is what my college class studied. So like all of the jazz and blues and yeah. then into the rock and pop and all of that. That was my like bread and butter.
That's nice.
Loved learning about
mine all that. Was not. Mine was like
Bach and
literally
Mozart and
stuff. Like the Gregorian chants.
Oh yeah.
Like where they're like, whoa.
Yeah, I did not learn about any of that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's terrible to learn about.
Yeah.
I wish that on anyone. If you're in one of those classes right now, just know you will get through it. I promise. I believe in you. But that's music.
Music, man.
It's kind of crazy. It's so intertwined in our lives, yeah. like whether you want to or not, like you were walking around with some kind of beat
yeah,
at sure. all times. Like,
I mean, it is. It's so ingrained in literally everything. Mm-hmm. Like you cannot go, I would dare say half a day without hearing some music.
I completely agree.
You know, like,
yeah,
it's just in everything and in every aspect of your life. Here, but let's end this. What you listen to right now?
I have been very into like my roots again, like country music.
Okay, sure.
I'm a big country gal.
Sure.
Lots of people hate it.
Well, you know.
But I have been really big into Morgan Wallen.
Okay.
He's been like the yeah. vibe.
I haven't listened to him, but I know he's big current in yeah. like, the music.
So I've been listening to a lot of Morgan Wallen, yeah. and I've been listening to actually Michael's favorite artist. His name is Mike.
Mike.
And he just creates like songs and music, and it's literally Mike with a period at the end of
it. Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. That's like his name.
What kind of is it, like electronic or hip-hop type?
It's kind of hip-hoppy, rappy, okay, in a way, but like also not.
Gotcha.
I don't really know how to describe it.
Yeah.
He might be under hip-hop and rap. But
probably.
I don't know. I just listen to that because Michael listens to it like all the time. So yeah. I'm just like,
right on.
Cool.
Nice.
What about you?
A lot of alternative music. I mean, that's kind of where I love now.
Also T Swift as well. I've been on T Swift vibe.
Always like, T Swift. I literally just this morning though, I was listening to it. There's a indie alternative band called Group Love. You might have heard them. They have that one song that was massive called Tongue Tied. But they just announced an album and came out with two singles, I think last week or the week before. And I was listening to them on the way over here this morning.
Oh,
so
nice.
They're very good. If you like any of that kind of music, go listen to those because they're really good.
Do it.
Should we go listen to some music?
I think we shall.
Yeah.
All right, Science Pals, we'll see you next week. Leave a late rating and review and
send us an email at randomtheorypod@gmail.com.
You guys are the best. Yeah. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.